There is one more announcement before we get going here. The search committee team will have a quick meeting right after the service in the office over there. So anybody on that team, be aware that there's something going on right after the service. So. I did not know what she was going to talk about, but it's kind of interesting how God works, because she discussed a couple of different things that I was going to talk about. So, this is actually my second sermon. Oh, I'm sorry. Kids are dismissed downstairs. I apologize. This is actually my second sermon. God put it on my heart to have a three-sermon series on prayer and the power of prayer and what's going on with prayer. And last time, in the first series, I discussed whether or not prayer actually works. And I think as a surprise to no one, the answer is yes. So today I want to talk to you about how you should pray. So normally I would pray before we start getting into God's Word, but today, based on the subject matter, we're gonna wait to the end. So you can go ahead. Yep, there we go. Okay. These are the passages that we're going to be in today. So if you want to turn to any of those, please feel free to fact check me. I always encourage that when we have any kind of speaker, whether it's a normal pastor or a guest speaker, please always, when somebody references the Word of God, you should always look it up and make sure that they're actually speaking the Word of God. So as you can see on the screen, we're going to end up in Matthew 6, speaking about Jesus and how he prays. But before that, obviously, that's part of the New Testament. I wanted to touch briefly on what the question of how to pray would look like if we were Jews back in the days before Jesus came. Some people wrongly have the idea that the Jews could only pray in the tabernacle or later in the temple after it was built by Solomon. Now, there were definitely certain ceremonies that could only take place according to the customs and the rules given by God through Moses. But people in the Old Testament did pray to God directly. So I'm going to highlight three of these as an example. So the first one that we're going to turn to is Genesis 32. We'll be in 9 through 12, and we'll be talking about Jacob's prayer. So I am going to go ahead and read 9 through 12. And we will discuss it real quick. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love, and all of the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, and the mothers with children. But you said, I will surely do you good, and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So this is the prayer that Jacob prayed after he learned that his brother Esau, who he had not seen for many years, was coming in his direction. So let me help you summarize this prayer. Jacob kind of said something like, God, you commanded me, and I obeyed, but I'm scared to death. I sinned against Esau a while ago, and now I'm scared that he's going to kill me. Oh, and he's going to kill the women and the children. Don't forget that part, too. Please be the God that I know you are and save me. So, how did he pray? How did Jacob pray? Well, we aren't told if he built an altar or anything like that. So let's look at what we actually know for sure. We know he prayed out of desperation. Has anyone here ever had to pray out of desperation? Yeah. Have you ever gotten yourself into a situation where you were just absolutely desperate and you prayed to God for a miracle? Generally speaking, we get ourselves into a desperate situation like this by sinning. And then we usually sin some more. And then at some point we realize what's going on and we try to wise up a little bit. But then usually we try to fix the situation without God and we make it worse than it was. And eventually, if we're lucky, we humble ourselves before God and we go to prayer. And that is our desperate prayer. That's what Jacob did right here. He stole the blessing from Esau. And then he ran away. But in that time, he was obedient to God. And so he's reminding God in this prayer, I did what you told me. I was obedient. Now please save me. I really screwed up. All right. So we're going to go ahead and flip over to 1 Samuel. Which again, Kaylee mentioned that her friend is currently reading. All right, we're going to be in 1 Samuel 10 through 17. So this is looking at Hannah and the multiple prayers that she gave before she gave birth to Samuel, or Samuel the prophet. Now in 1 Samuel 1, Hannah is without children, and she's being taunted by her husband's other wife. But she and her husband go every year to worship the Lord. So, 1 Samuel 1, 10 through 17. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant, and remember me, and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall ever touch his head. Now as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli the priest observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord. I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have neither drunk wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman. For all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered her, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant your petition to you now. Now here, Hannah is praying at what we would consider the Old Testament version of a church. It's a place she is there to worship and to honor God. And while she's there, she prays. How does she pray? She prays silently. She prays to herself. She is praying so much to the Lord, she describes it as pouring out my soul before the Lord. And the priest, who initially thought that she was drunk, recognizes the prayer and tells her that he hopes God answers her prayer. Now, Hannah prays again in 1 Samuel 2 after God answers her prayer and gives her a son. It's a very long prayer, and I won't read it now, but I'll summarize it. She returned to the same place to worship the Lord, and she brought all the proper sacrifices. Her prayer that she prays in 1 Samuel 2 is one to exalt God, raising up his name. She didn't ask for anything. She simply praised him over and over again. Now talk about a good, faithful woman. For years, she was enduring taunts and insults. And what was her response? Praying to God to change the situation. And then praising his name on high. All right. Lastly, I want to touch on the prayer of King Jehoshaphat. So we're going to flip over to 2 Chronicles 20. Now, a little backstory before this prayer. I'm not going to read the whole prayer. I'm just going to read the end part of it. So I'm going to flip over to 2 Chronicles 20. We'll be in verse 12. Judah, the country, is being attacked. And King Jehoshaphat prays a very long prayer, but I just want to focus on the end of his prayer. So, in verse 12, he says, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. How did King Jehoshaphat pray? Well, he's in the house of the Lord, in the assembly of all the people, and he prayed, praising God's name, talking about God's good works and faith in the past. And then he declares that he and the people will worship God in the future, no matter what happens. Then he tells God that he's worried and he has no answers, but that he trusts God. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So these are three examples of three very different types of prayer. You can go ahead and flip the next slide. There isn't a pattern here in how they prayed. Did they pray in a location like a church? Well, for Jacob, the answer is no. He might have built an altar or something, but we're not actually told that. For Hannah, yes. For Jehoshaphat, yes, he did. Did they pray publicly? Well, for Jacob, no. He prayed alone. Oh, I'm sorry. Did they pray out loud? For Jacob, yes. For Hannah, no. And for Jehoshaphat, yes, he did. Did they pray publicly? For Jacob, no. He prayed alone. And for Hannah, no. I mean, she prayed in front of at least one person. And for Jehoshaphat, yes, he prayed in front of the entire assembly. Now, what about their reasons for prayer? Well, for Jacob, it was the fear of the consequences of his past sin and asking the Lord to fix his current situation, to fix his problems. For Hannah, it was to remove a pain in her life, to cure her of something that had been wrong for many, many years. She was without children. For Jehoshaphat, it was trusting in God to help with a situation that he had no control over. So, now we're going to go to Matthew 6. A lot of people know Matthew 6 as the one that has the Lord's Prayer in it. Now, as powerful as and important as that is, there is so much more that sometimes we miss. So a little backstory here. This is Jesus speaking and teaching to a large crowd as well as his disciples. And Jesus starts off by giving out two warnings about prayer here. So let's dive into those first before we get into the rest of it. We're going to start in Matthew 6, and we'll be in 5 and 6 right here. Jesus says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And then if we go right on to verse 7 and 8. "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, or some translations say as the pagans do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." What did Jesus warn us about? He warned us about part of the how of praying. Are you to pray so that the attention turns to you? Is that how you should pray? Do you pray loudly in a church or in public so that everybody turns and looks at you? Do you post things online about how much you've been praying so that everyone will give you their approval? Jesus says that it's actually better to pray in secret. And then he drops this bombshell on us. God already knows what you need before you ask. Well, then why even pray? Because asking is part of it. That is part of the how. You must actually do it, even though God already knows. Have you ever known someone that needed help with something? They're struggling and you're willing to jump right in, but you're just waiting for them to ask? God wants you to ask. He wants you to ask Him. But He doesn't want you to draw the attention away from Him while you ask. Don't make it about yourself. Now, the second warning that Jesus gives us is very similar to the first, but it's worded a little differently. When you pray, don't just talk to sound holy or smart. Let me ask you this. Have you ever read a book or an article or an email where somebody says something in 7 paragraphs they could have said in 3 sentences? Yeah. Why do they do that? Do they do it to sound smart? Do they do it to sound important? Do they do it to try to make people give them the respect? Don't just babble. Now, turning back to Matthew 6, we're going to go ahead and read the Lord's Prayer here. So we'll be in 9 through 13. Jesus starts off by saying, Pray then like this. Now, right here is part of the how, but please understand His word choice. Jesus doesn't say, pray this way. He specifically says, pray like this. Model your prayers on this one, but it doesn't need to be exactly like this one. Do you remember our Old Testament examples? All of them had their prayers answered by God, but none of them prayed exactly the same. All right, so 9 through 13. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus shows us how to pray, and He starts by praising and acknowledging God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He also makes sure to note that He wants God's will to be done. Now, I've referenced in a previous sermon that God is not a genie who appears to serve you and grant you wishes. We are here to worship God, and we want our will to align with His will, because His will be accomplished. Now, next, Jesus starts talking about eating food. Okay, no, wait. He says, give us this day our daily bread. This is actually a reminder to the Jewish people that they need God. When they were wandering in the wilderness, God gave them enough food and water for one day. And they were forced to trust that He would provide them what they needed for the next day. He was teaching them faith and trust. Jesus is reminding us that God will give us what we need if we trust Him. Jesus also goes on and then tells us to forgive others so that we may be forgiven as well. Forgiveness is important. As a matter of fact, it's so important He expands on it in verse 14 and 15, just to make sure that you fully understand what He's saying. But He ends this prayer here with, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is a reminder that sin is real, and so is the need for spiritual protection. So we see that Jesus gave us a guide on the how to pray when we pray. But what about the other part of the how? Jesus prayed frequently throughout the small portion of His life that was recorded in the Gospels. So as you can see on the screen, sometimes He prayed alone, sometimes He prayed in front of small groups, sometimes He prayed in front of large crowds. Often He prayed when He gave thanks to the Father, and often He praised God. He always submitted to the Father's will. But one of the things that a lot of people miss is that He prayed often. So how should you pray? Pray frequently. Praise God. Ask for what you need. Submit to God's will. Have the faith to trust God. As long as you do these things, the rest of the how doesn't matter. How do I pray? I actually prefer to pray alone. Although, obviously, I don't mind praying in front of groups or crowds. So how do I pray most of the time? I get ready to pray by reading God's word before I start. When I pray, I praise God's name, and I try to humble myself before him. I almost always ask for my will to bend to his will. And I also ask him to rebuke me as needed. I give him permission to change me, to shape me, and mold me. And why do I have to give him permission, you might ask? Well, because in the past, he's attempted to change me, and I resisted him. That's part of humbling myself and bending my will to his will. That's a personal thing for me. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe that how for you isn't what you need. I almost always pray for others. And it's actually fairly rare that I pray for myself, because honestly, my joy and peace in the Lord means that no matter what I have going on, I actually rarely need very much. When I pray, I actually pray out loud, even when I'm by myself. Because for me, I just tend to feel that if it's worth praying about, it's worth saying out loud. That's my how. Your how might be different. Did you know that we were actually blessed with a gift from heaven? Jesus gave us the answer to how we should pray when he sent the Holy Spirit to us after he ascended. Now, as a believer, the Spirit dwells within you. And in Romans 8, we're told that we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We're also told that the Spirit intercedes for us in accordance to the will of God. When you have Jesus as your Savior, you have the Spirit of God within you. And when you have the Spirit of God within you, he's not just visiting when it's prayer time. He lives in you, and you have access to God 24/7. Don't underestimate the power of what I just said. How you should pray is the question I've been asking this whole time, and the answer is actually look to Jesus. He gave us everything that we need to know how to pray. It might sound simple, because it is. God didn't make it hard for us. That's the end of my message today, but I do want to pray, because like I said, generally before I get into God's word, I like to pray ahead of time. So if you would all come before me with the Lord, let's unite in prayer. Lord, we come before you today asking that your holy word would penetrate deep into our hearts and our minds, Lord. We ask that you would take the learnings from your word and imprint them on us, that we would carry them from this place. Lord, we ask also that we would not keep them as a secret to ourselves, but share them with others. You have given us a gift that is so great, we cannot keep it to ourselves, Lord. I thank you that the how of praying is less important than the fact that we have access to you, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, through the salvation of Jesus. Lord, that was a gift that was given so freely to us, despite the fact that we did not earn it and we did not deserve it. And I thank you for that, Lord. And if there's anyone here today that has not yet accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move powerfully in this place and that they would be stirred up before you and that they would recognize you their Lord and Savior, and that they return their eyes to you, declare their sins, and confess your name on their lips. Father, I thank you, and I praise you in all things, in your holy name.